You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
I have two teachers that I would like to shout out, David Rosales and JP Christensen, who basically took me under their wing. I did a show, Cats, in high school as a junior in high school, but I didn't even know how to dance yet. They saw my potential, took me under their wing. And from my senior year, I took my first ballet class, my first jazz class, my first hip hop class, my first tap class. And they showed me what Broadway could be for me. And at that moment, I actually was dreaming of becoming a fighter pilot in the Navy.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to Built for the Stage podcast. This is Joe Roscoe, founder of Built for the Stage, Broadway's number one fitness platform with clients in over 20 Broadway shows, tours across the country, collegiate stages, regional theaters, the West End in London, Australia. We are a global company that uses an online training platform to help marry the activities of a gym and the activities of your stage life and how you can complement them together. So if you want to check it out, go to builtforthestage.com. Special thanks to Broadway Podcast Network. You can check them out at bpn.fm. All right, let's get to it. A special guest as always on the pod. We are doing some fun TikTok, Instagram Reels videos on the gram, and we got connected with our guest here. He's currently in the cast of Aladdin. Please welcome Angelo Soriano. Hey, Angelo.
Hey, Joe. Nice to meet you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. My pleasure. Where are you originally from, Angelo?
I'm originally from Manila, Philippines, beyond the sea.
Yeah.
And I immigrated here when I was 9, and I didn't pursue this Broadway career until later on in high school. But I'm here all the way in New York City, just bought a place, and we're here to stay.
Cool. All right. So you came from the Philippines. Did you initially live in New York City or were you somewhere else in the States when you got here?
I basically grew up in California.
Okay, California.
That's where I had, yes, most of my education is from there. My dance training is from there. My first job was in Disneyland and California Adventure. So I did some works in the park. I also did some work in Disney World as well. So Disney kid through and through, I guess, because now I'm on Aladdin on Broadway, and I like that.
Amazing. Wow. You like had that set out, that path set for you right out of the jump. So that's cool. What was one of your favorite Disney movies growing up?
Ooh. Yeah, you know, it's really easy for me to say Aladdin, but, you know, for some reason, I also enjoyed watching Aladdin in French because I was very infatuated with the French language growing up, and dabble in it myself today, but, you know, in no way can I hold a conversation, but I just love the language and language in general. I speak Tagalog, my native language from the Philippines. And so, I dabble, you know?
Yeah. Very cool. So in Disneyland and Disney World, what were some of the shows or your performances that you did when you were growing up?
My first job was in Disney Channel Rocks, basically a successor to the High School Musical Parade that they used to have in the parks. And so I sang all those tunes, those pop tunes, those DCOM tunes that we all know and love. You know, we're all in this together, as we still are. I know the choreography still to this day. So it's kind of fun and fun to look back on. And I played with puppets for a little bit. I was the host of a puppet show called Disney Junior Live on Stage. So I got to hang with the Fab Five, Mickey, Minnie, Goofy, Donald, and Pluto. That was really cool. And I did in Disney World, I performed in a Christmas and 2 years worth of Christmas contracts where I got to play in a totally Tomorrowland Christmas. And so that was, you know, I hung out with Stitch and Buzz, you know, just that I'm so Disney-fied, Joe, but, you know, I just love it. That's what I appreciated about my early professional career is just getting to play on these prestigious stages.
Yeah. You know what? You never know, or I never know where these interviews are going to go when they start, but this one has it's come out with a bang already. I'm like, I'm smiling so hard over here. My cheeks already hurt. So
why wouldn't you?
Right. So you're in California. When do you come over to New York, or how did your career kind of shuffle out where you ended up in New York City and yeah, this pursuit of musical theater?
I discovered musical theater in high school. My very first musical theater show that I performed in was in freshman year, and I got to star as Tommy Keeler in Annie Get Your Gun, and it was the B-plot romance, some would say, where I got to perform my first stage kiss, and I kissed a girl, and I was like, wow, okay, you can get paid to do this? I want to do this more. Let's go. And I just went on to do more shows, and I finished doing 8 shows between my school and the summer production before I graduated high school. And I was like, you know, I really love this. I saw Wicked on Broadway in my junior year in high school and on a school choir chamber trip, and I was hooked. You know, the bug bit me, and I was like, I need to come back to this place where the skyscrapers look like they loom over you. And yeah. And I fell in love with the city, and I made it my goal to get here before too long. I finished 3 semesters in college. I basically dropped out because I started working on my 4th semester in the Disney parks, and it led me here. You know, I did a national tour of Flashdance the musical before I landed this Broadway gig, and I've been in Aladdin swinging it for 7 years now, since 2015.
Cool. Before we get into Aladdin, before we hit record, we were talking a little bit about you were recording tracks, or you're in forms of musicality or artistry beyond just musical theater. Tell us a little bit about that and how you got into it, and I'm very interested in this.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. You gave a shout out to my purple room of creativity here that you see me in.
Yeah.
And I dabble in, you know, I have my hands in a lot of jars. I wear a lot of hats. I like shoes, many shoes. And I, especially during the pandemic, and it started actually way before, just making music videos in school and YouTube covers and whatnot, I started dabbling in more video production. And because I wanted to do music videos, I taught myself how to work Logic Pro and be my own music producer and composer and arranger. And then I made more and more of those, to the point where, you know, people asked me to make theirs for them. And I got better and better. And pretty soon I found myself being asked to do bigger and bigger projects and collaborate with, you know, these amazing artists that I met through the Broadway community, which was always fun. And and it's also just a side gig that I completely have a passion for and enjoy doing, and be, you know, staying creative outside of this 8 show a week stage format, jumping out and being able to be my own director, of photography, composer, arranger, screenwriter, choreographer, even, you know, at times, and, you know, as well as, you know, allow myself a chance to perform every once in a while and show people what I do.
Tell us a little bit about that, the performance aspect outside of Aladdin. I think it's very interesting for the listeners to know that, hey, the people you see on stage 8 times a week, that's not the only thing they're doing. You know, they still have, like you said, you know, wearing other hats or filling other shoes to take your words from you.
Yeah, I really do enjoy learning about process, and process, you know, is what creativity thrives on, is, you know, putting your time into something, to develop an idea, to collaborate with people and really connect with them, to feature and highlight each other's talents and using it to team up and make something great. Maybe, you know, create a message, maybe find a way to reach out to more people that didn't know, you know, whatever your message you're trying to say. You know, for us, my friends and I, we just love to make music that hits people in a powerful way, whether that's the most recent performance thing that I would say I did was perform my rendition of A Whole New World's or Aladdin's A Whole New World in Tagalog, my native language. And I asked my friend Heather, who I think you've met, and we performed a completely Filipino version of the song we all know and love from the film and the Broadway musical. And it definitely sparked this pride in my community and the Filipino community, not just on Broadway, but, you know, my family across the pond connected with it, and I got to reach out to them in that way. And so I think that, you know, this having this side gig and being able to be my own creator allows me to connect with people that I don't get to connect with often.
Yeah, I was just talking with Eddie Noel. He is currently on the tour with Hadestown, and Eddie's from Puerto Rico. And we were talking about how in musical theater, no matter the language, if you're familiar with the show, you have this global connection with the theater community. And it's very special to see that and to know that this love or passion is shared not just in your home country, but across the world. What is the musical theater scene like in the Philippines, if at all? Like, how is, yeah, tell us a little bit about that.
I would like to be able to say that musical theater is a thing there. I think when you're lucky, you probably would find some international tourists pass through Manila every once in a while. But I think even though the culture is very entertainment oriented, whether you are expected to be a singer or a dancer or an actor on TV and film, that does exist. But for some reason, to my knowledge, musical theater is not the same there, which is why it was so foreign to me when I found out what musical theater was, what Broadway was, when I was growing up here in the States, in California, where I got lucky and found the school that wanted to embrace the arts in that community in this small town of Visalia, California, where I was exposed to these amazing musicals and these amazing teachers. I have two teachers that I would like to shout out, David Rosales and JP Christensen, who basically took me under their wing. I did a show, Cats, in high school as a junior in high school, but I didn't even know how to dance yet. They saw my potential, took me under their wing. And from my senior year, I took my first ballet class, my first jazz class, my first hip hop class, my first tap class. And they showed me what Broadway could be for me. And at that moment, I actually was dreaming of becoming a fighter pilot in the Navy. I had a different plan for myself. And I considered it a lot. Of course, my family did. Of course, my parents, you know, everything you hear about, you know, Asian parents being strict on, you know, having their child choose the right path. It can be true. And for me, I had to prove to them that, you know, this is something that I think that I can do. And they've always been supportive. But of course, diving into the unknown, I'm the first professional actor, musician, creative entertainer, performer in my family to have gone on to do bigger things, just like, you know, that I'm lucky to do today. And I got to prove them, you know, not wrong, but prove something bigger than what they thought I would be capable of. And I think that's a beautiful story, a beautiful thing for anyone who is thinking about pursuing something, as crazy as that sounds. Yeah. But I'm happy I did, and it brought me here today, you know, and to you now.
Yeah, shout out to your two mentors, shout out to your parents that, you know, this, like you said, this crazy pursuit, this dream, without people believing in you, or at least like your parents maybe saying, hey, we might not understand it, we might not truly think that this is it, but hey, if you're going to do it, then, you know, best wishes to you. My parents were the same. They were a little bit more blindly acceptive. They're like, we really have no idea what you're talking about, but like, hey, if this is what you wanted to, go for it.
So, absolutely. Thank you.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Before we get into Aladdin, we're huge dog people here. You have a dog I saw on your social media, right?
Oh, yeah. His name is Blackjack. He's a 2-year-old rescue. He's the coolest little guy, a little 11-pound half chihuahua, part mini pin mix. Uh-huh. And he's the fastest dog in the dog run.
Okay.
And he's the coolest guy in my apartment. I live with my wife and this crazy little dude who's probably running around my feet right now, wondering if I would pick him up. But yeah, I love being a dog parent.
Awesome. So you're a dog parent. Let's get a little bit more background and get to know you a bit. What besides music and musical theater and the arts, what are other passions of yours? You talked about shoes. Were you being serious? Are you like a sneakerhead or anything like that?
I would say I love my shoes because I love my hats because it represents something that, you know, something else that I dabble in. You know, I meant that in a more of a, okay, well, I know when I put my trainers on, I know I am shooting to be the healthiest part of me. I know when I put my Oxfords on, I'm shooting to be the classiest part of me. And I know when I'm wearing my sneakers, I'm just chill and ready to be, you know, your friendly neighborhood Angelo. So that way, yes.
They're like a external representation of who you are at that moment as far as what you'll be doing that day. I like that.
Yeah. And also I believe in journey, right? And shoes get you through the journeys. And that is another way that I look at life is really enjoying, you know, how you got to where you were. I mean, coming from this street rat kid in the Philippines, in the streets of Marikina, Philippines, all the way to New York City, and that journey and how many shoes it took for me to get there, I think is pretty significant.
That's awesome. Wow. Before we get into Aladdin again, just because you said that, like, this oftentimes as a podcast that is theater and fitness based, I always try to draw either inspiration or some type of coaching points for the listeners. Were there any moments along the journey that were pivotal points that you either had to make a decision or someone else stepped in that really made a difference, or yeah, just give us something that if anyone might be going through a tough patch that could give them hope in this journey of their pursuit.
I think that for growth to happen, sometimes the catalyst will come from the outside in. And, you know, we hear a lot of stories of like, you know, I always had it in me. I always had it, you know, you always had it in you. But for me, especially around my coming of age, around my 17, 18 year olds years, where I was pretty dead set on joining the Navy and kind of, you know, that it's also, you know, a very Filipino idea, I would say, because we have a naval base in the Philippines. And so a lot of Filipinos end up in the Navy. My sister just she finished her Navy run and was a part of that. And, you know, really, really had a great, growth during her experience there. But for me, I thought I was going to be that, but it took my two mentors to show me that there was something else that I could pursue that, that they already knew that I would have, that would be passionate in and would excel in. And it takes someone to tell you, you know, that you are worth, you know, more in something that you maybe you didn't expect to be worth a lot of. And for me, because I enjoyed the arts and performing and the thought of being a professional entertainer at that time, I trusted them to really take me under their wing and give me the training that I deserved to get this far. And I can't thank them enough for that. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot from just allowing myself to make the shift and to, you know, not be so dead set on something. Cause I have asthma and I don't even know how far I would have gone in the Navy, but I do a good job, a decent job today managing my asthma through song, through breathing, through vocals, through singing, through dancing, and through staying fit outside of the theater, whether that's going to the gym, you know, before every show to maintain my body and eating healthy and all of that to be this Broadway machine that I have to be 8 shows a week, you know?
Yeah. Let's jump into it. So Broadway comes back, and by no means was it just like, hey, we're back and everything's, you know, normal. And then all of a sudden we also have this Omicron surge. How has it been navigating the return of the show? And like I mentioned before the recording, that when we started, we have quite a few clients or friends that are in the show and we've heard stories. Do you have any like either funny or crazy stories so far of how y'all have had to come together to make this show happen on any given night?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we've all heard stories of swings and standbys, taking on a lot of the pressure of this situation. And you know, it's true that, you know, we felt a little bit more strain of coming in and being responsible for all the tracks that we're destined to perform at any moment's notice. And it's just up to you to really maintain this lifestyle in the healthiest way possible for us to be able to tackle it, you know, as they come. Because really, right now, it is getting better. I'm happy to say we've fallen into a groove, if you will, which is great. It's feeling a lot better than where it was in relaunch and back in September. Through December, there's some rough patches there, but as you know, we hired more swings. We got a lot more. We actually the family grew, and the more people that were able to kind of take on the load, the more we could team up to really keep the show going and to keep that curtain up. And it wasn't just the swings and standbys. It was everyone really working together to, you know, even as little as, you know, people deciding, okay, I'm going to make the healthy choice of, you know, by, you know, not go to this restaurant or not go to this social event, just so that, you know, we do care about the show enough, all of us in the family, to do our best to not allow it to be on another hiatus, because as much as it was necessary, of course we want to be here and living our dreams on that stage and making that magic for the audience. And they're coming in and they're coming out with that big smile that we all know and love, you know, to have once we leave that theater space. And like I said, we're happy to say we're in a good groove right now, and I feel good about the run moving forward.
Cool. Very cool. For you as a swing, how many tracks do you cover?
You want to guess?
I'll say,
We have a cast of 30.
Yeah. I'm going to say 9.
The answer is 12.
Oh, my second guess was 11, but I thought 11 was too aggressive. So 12 is even more aggressive.
Well, 12 is the number of the ensemble roles that I cover. I also understudy Omar and Iago. So that's 14 roles for you. Jeez. That I have to be able to perform at any moment's notice. It's been fun. You know, I'm a guy that, you know, as we discussed, like, I like doing a lot of things. And for me, I get kind of bored easily. So I love being a swing, because I love being able to just hop around and experience and perform the show from all these vantage points. And they keep it fresh, you know, it keeps it fresh for me, keeps me on my toes. And I love being able to support the show and the integrity of the show that way.
Cool. Nice. I've seen the show 3 times and it's fast and furious. So your swinging of 12 tracks of the ensemble plus the understudies is, I'm sure, no easy task, because it's really, I tell Michael, that plays Aladdin right now, I tell him it looks like organized chaos. That's how I would describe some of the scenes, like the street scenes in particular, you know?
Absolutely. Sure. One jump is just that. When you learn the show, when you get to, you know, immerse yourself in this, you know, and be a citizen of Agrabah, you'll learn that it's a well-oiled machine. And if you fall behind on your cues and your choreography and your blocking and your staging and your prop handoffs and your offstage traffic and your quick changes, it'll go without you. And you know, it'll keep chugging along, and it's right. Up to you to really, you know, really be on top of it all. And that's what's so exciting about being a swing in the building, as well as being a part of this amazing family. And I don't say that lightly. It's actually a family that we get to love each other and love doing what we love with each other and collaborating with each other's energy on stage every night. It is truly remarkable and a dream.
Nice. Well, that's all the time we have for today's episode. You sound like an amazing person, very like eclectic and all these things that you have going on. So really cool to just get a little glimpse to get to know you. And I really appreciate you being on the show today.
Thank you so much. Nice to meet you, Joe. And nice to be a part of this podcast. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. If you want to know more about Angelo, just check out the description of this episode. You can follow him on the gram and keep up with everything that's going on in the jam-packed, fun-filled life with that cute dog, Blackjack, right? Blackjack?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Shout out Blackjack. So, Angelo Soriano, thank you so much. Everyone, Built for Stage Podcast, Joe Roscoe, thank you again for listening. If you like it, rate, subscribe, leave a comment. Until the next one, we'll see you later. Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suf's has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suf'smusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.